and welcome everybody. I'm Richard from the Veg Grower Podcast and today is the 9th of July 2018 and this is episode 176 titled Introducing Julia's Kitchen Garden. Now as the title suggests, today I am introducing Julia's Kitchen Garden, how she has started her veg growing journey. Before that, of course, we have the diary where I will be sharing what I have done in this last week. And then I have, of course, the calendar and what that suggests to do for this next week. So let's crack on with the diary and what have I been up to this last week. Well, last week, you may recall, I spoke of spending 15 minutes every day on the allotment weeding. Well, work went crazy last week, so that didn't really happen. However, once I was at home in the evening, my wife, she's not much of a gardener, if I'm fair, but something she does like doing is cutting branches and pruning. So she's been doing that every evening on many of my various bushes and ivy and things like that in the garden. So my 15 minutes have been spent helping her tidy that lot away. Now this has made a big difference in the garden. It's letting a lot more light and tidied it up quite a considerable amount. Ivy particularly is so fast growing and covers a large area that it's very, very difficult to kind of maintain. Now this isn't really a vegetable related task, but what it's good for is making compost, which will go into the vegetable patch once it's composted down, which is always a good thing in my book. Now, Wednesday last week, I went over to Julia's to meet her and carry out this interview. Richard Bald Explorer, he was there already. And we were actually doing a live show from her garden. I didn't have time to let you know about this, I'm afraid. So I do apologise, really. But we kind of planned it last minute as a way of trying to keep the gardening theme going. Anyway, I carried that interview and you will hear that on later. I call it an interview. It's more of a consultancy, I guess. But yeah, more on that later. Saturday morning, I decided it was time for the baby quail. Well, they're not really babies anymore. They're nearly 3.5 weeks now. So they're nearly fully grown, believe it or not. Anyway, they've been making a mess in the kitchen where they've been sat. And I decided it was kind of time for them to go into the potting shed and start getting them used to being outside. So I've taken them in their cage straight outside, or straight into the potting shed anyway. I've got electric in there, so I've plugged in the electric head so they can still keep warm. Although I'm thinking I'm going to be able to turn the electric hen off soon, but at the moment it's raised to its highest point, so it's not really as low down to keep them as warm as when they were first born. And I'm thinking, actually it's quite warm in the potting shed, especially during the day, that maybe they don't need the electric hen so much. I'm going to start playing around and put it on a timer just to get them used to not having it. Anyway, these quail, they're really growing quickly. They're nearly full size, and I'll soon be able to find out what sex they both are. I'm pretty sure one's male and one's female. Anyway, now I was out all day Saturday. I was actually doing a video course, so I didn't do much gardening, but the video course is actually paying off. I want to improve my videography, so it's been educational. But anyway, Sunday morning I did head down the allotment. And this week, as you know, I get a barbecue on the go when I'm down the allotment. And this week was something a little different. I decided to barbecue up some lamb hearts. And I left those just gently cooking while I was working. And I started out with weeding all the beds again. And I have to admit, I spent most of my time on Sunday weeding. And although it's starting to feel I'm kind of getting ahead of the weeds now, there's still a fair amount to do. But that is allotment life. And One of the drawbacks of working an allotment on my own is it is a lot of work, but I do enjoy it. In fact, I love it, so I won't knock that. Anyway, after the weeding, I harvested what I could, and actually, I had a really decent amount of crops. I'm very happy. A really decent-sized courgette, which was harvested. There was some decent peas, some broad beans. I even harvested my elephant garlic, as they had all started to go yellow. I have also noticed that the French beans will soon be ready as well, so excellent. I'll be harvesting the French beans some point during this week, in fact. Now, my broad beans, I mentioned those in just now. Some of the plants had actually turned brown and died back, so I've removed those plants. Now, I think these plants had just reached the end of their life, as these were the overwintered ones, so I've had harvest out of them. I'm not upset at all. After that, I started clearing out the very top of my allotment, and that is the area I've not been happy with. It's very weedy. I've been ripping out all the weeds in there, but it's a tough area because it's, one, it's hard clay and it's not had any compost go into it. But two, it's full of a mixture of various bushes and rhubarb, red currants, black currants, raspberries, that sort of thing. I feel raspberries have taken over. They've spread so much that they are going to have to be thinned out, if not removed completely. But that will happen in the winter. I may even reduce the amount of rhubarb I have in there. But anyway, I've started clearing some of the weeds and it's looking a little bit tidier. Now after that, I headed home and I cleaned out my birds and tidied up the garden. Talking of birds, I mentioned this in the weekly harvest report yesterday. Bear, my brown chicken, she's gone broody. She laid an egg on Monday and she obviously tried laying on it all day and she hasn't laid an egg since. I've obviously, of course, removed that egg and I keep trying to move her out and get her just to not lay through, but she has gone broody and there's not much I can do about it, really. I've just got to let her go through the broodiness, even though there's nothing for her to hatch. Of course, egg production is reduced during this period, but thankfully, the quails will make up for that, so I'm not worried in the slightest. Now tonight, before recording, I did pop to the allotment and just give everything a really good watering, as well as my normal 15 minutes of weeding. I'm back into that now, and every evening this week I will be doing that. So that brings the diary up to date. Let's take a look at what the calendar suggests to do for this next week. And it reads, continue cutting back early flowering plants and, in mild areas, trim delphiniums and lupins to ground level to encourage a second display of flowers. Hoe in fertiliser around clumps of Michaelmas daisies. Watch out for plant diseases in humid conditions and treat quickly to prevent them from spreading. Yeah, that, I don't really have a huge amount to comment on that. I guess the blight is a thing to watch out for at this time of year. But yeah, apart from that, let's just move on to Julia's kitchen garden. Now, I mentioned last week that you may remember when Julia and Richard came to my allotment a few weeks ago, I interviewed them and Julia expressed an interest in growing her own food. I also noticed that actually Richard was showing an interest in gardening, but just felt he did not have the time to commit. Well, I think the seed was sown that day and two of them, lately, they've been working really, really hard on Julia's garden, getting an area ready to make into a vegetable patch. They asked me to pop along and give some advice, a kind of a consultation, I guess you could call it. Well, I recorded this little chat and I'll be playing it in just a second. And this is the first of what I hope will be a regular feature in the VegGrower podcast, and sharing both Julia's and Richard's experience growing the food. Now, I would say they are both pretty inexperienced in gardening, and this is more Julia's garden. Richard, I think, would like to, but this is more Julia's thing. And just as an example of how inexperienced Julia is particularly, and during the live show, Julia was kind of playing around with a hoe and trying to hoe a bed, but she had the hoe the wrong way around. And I happened to catch this out the corner of my eye. I was tending to the barbecue at the time. And that's not a criticism against Julia, because I don't believe that if somebody doesn't know anything, you should criticise them for that. They don't know something. It's just a demonstration of how little experience she has. Anyway, I'll play this interview in now, and then we'll... Okay, so I'm here with the lovely Julia and Richard.
Hello.
Hello.
You may remember from a couple of weeks ago, they came down the allotment, we'd done an interview, and they've... I think it's safe to say they've got the gardening bug.
We have, I think.
Yep.
So much that we started building a vegetable patch in Julia's back garden. We've been busy all week, and I don't know for you with the work you've done, to be honest. We've got some very solid clay here that you've dug out, sieved, and well, it's this 9-foot by 5-foot bed. That's pretty good going, and you've dug it 6 inches deep.
Yeah, took a bit of muscle power there. You should have seen Julia strip down and just at it. And I was sitting there with the pina coladas going, that's a girl.
Mopping my brow.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well done, that man.
You can tell he's a head gardener. But this is obviously your garden, Julia.
Yes.
I'm glad that you actually started to grow your own food, because that's obviously something very important to me.
Well, I've been wanting to for years. But yeah, having seen your allotment and your enthusiasm, and having Richard Bowes' enthusiasm as well, the Bold Explorer, and yeah,
really pushed it on.
So.
Yeah. Well, I guess really, first thing is, what do you want to achieve from this?
Well, my main goal is to be putting food on my table without having to step out my front door and going to the supermarkets.
Sure. Good plan. And is there anything particular you want to grow?
Well, I'm very interested in exploring the heirloom, or there is another word for it.
Heritage.
Yeah, heritage, vegetables and fruit. So, but I'm not, you know, I'm not going to be strict on that. Just putting food on my table is the main thing.
Yeah.
One of the things I know that you'd be itching to grow is the purple carrots that we've purchased from Middle Farm in the past and tasted, and they're delicious.
Yeah.
I do have a penchant for
purple stuff. That's easy. Purple carrots, purple cabbages.
Beetroot.
Yeah, beetroot. That's a funny thing, though. I'm not that fussed on beetroot.
I think there's even purple potatoes and purple peas.
Yes.
I've had purple potatoes.
Yeah.
And corn.
Purple corn.
Sweet corn.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Is there any particular style that you want to emulate? Off the top of your head, obviously.
Well, I haven't really... there goes.
Sorry, I'm going to have an ice cream.
I haven't really, you know, looked into all the different styles or anything.
You're just happy to go along with...
Open to suggestion, I suppose.
But I would like to, you know, be as close to earth as possible with it, you know.
Organic, natural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I suppose I do have a preconceived idea of what I'm going to do then.
Yeah, I mean... I always say there's different levels of organic gardening, because how do you know the horse manure that we're going to use is organic and so on. But that's a whole other debate.
Are you saying that horse manure doesn't come out of a horse?
It does come out of a horse, but yes, the but horse it's... hasn't been fed organic.
Oh, I see.
Food.
Oh, I'm with you. Okay.
Then it's not wholly organic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's a very, very difficult ground to get your head around, the whole organic movement.
What about all the medications that the horses generally end up having?
That's all part of it,
isn't it? All part of it as well.
Is that a benefit to the ground or not?
I I'm no scientist, to be honest. I've just.
So that's something from a research book.
Horse manure is just something I've grabbed.
But I suppose what you're saying is, if you kind of accept whatever the horse manure is going to be, and then you're not putting pesticides and extra bits on it on the food that you grow.
Yeah.
There's an organic technique to avoid the slugs and avoid the aphids and all the other pests that might come.
Yeah, sure. I mean, even water. The water comes out of the tap as chemicals. Not organic.
It's treated in certain ways.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. What tools do you have?
I've got a fork, a spade, bucket, a trowel, some cutty things.
A pickaxe. Someone's been wielding a pickaxe recently.
And some gloves and a wheelbarrow.
Gloves and a wheelbarrow. And some watering cans.
Well,
you've got pretty much everything you need.
Yeah.
The only thing, two things I would say you need, and I brought two hoes along for you to have. They're for weeding. They're probably the most used tool you have in a vegetable patch.
Yeah.
And the other thing that would be good is a rake of some kind, just to help spread it.
Oh, I do have a rake. It's over there.
Do? Oh, it's not a brilliant rake.
That's a lawn rake there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be getting a new rake.
Yeah, I'll try. Car boots are a good place to go for them.
Oh, yeah.
What about trowels?
She said she's got a trowel.
Oh, you've got a trowel.
Yeah. I mean, the five tools I use, fork, spade, trowel, watering can, hoe, and rake. That's six, not five. So
oh, okay.
That's all I use on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
Well, so let's take a look at this area. So we know it's 9 foot by 5 foot roughly, and got to say, this clay, it's definitely a clay soil. That's tough.
I mean, as you know, recently we've had an onslaught of sunshine, and so there's been no moisture. And in fact, I had to pour water on top of that to loosen it up in order to get the 5 inches off the top.
Yeah. I know this was full of a lot of stones and
a lot of stone, glass, slate, all sorts of junk.
Before you, bits of car parts.
Car parts.
Yeah. Used it as a wrecker's yard before.
But there was a load of teasels, and I remember them.
Yeah, pretty about eight foot tall. Definitely, yeah.
Having the fact that the teasels grow here are a good sign if there's been car parts on it, because stuff obviously grows.
Yeah.
It's moderately fertile, so if nothing grew here at all, I'll be worried.
Right.
And now, the actual garden itself, we've got, for those listening, I'll just explain it to you. We've got a house on the southern side, a wall to the eastern side, a brick garage to the northern side, and a fence and hedge to the western side, which to me screams out a walled garden like we would have in a Victorian walled garden. And they were here to create microclimates and keep the warmth in and what have you. And that's something that I think we should be looking at when we're trying to build this, trying to emulate that for ideas. So for example, this wall here, which is the northern side where the garage is going to be the hottest wall. And that wall is going to absorb all the heat throughout the day and slowly release it at night. So something like peaches would grow fantastically fan-trained against that. And I'll show you some pictures of some fan-trained and even some cordons. And they will grow like mad because they've got,
You've got the heat
to keep them going.
That's very good.
We know we've got a clay soil. I'm going to do a pH test later. I suspect we've got a slightly alkaline, which is good for vegetables. And all the stuff you've thrown in the corner, all the old growth material, that's obviously your compost heap.
Yep.
Would you be open to the idea of using that to grow pumpkins this year?
Pumpkins, because you can get some lovely pumpkin soup, pumpkin pie,
yeah.
Pumpkins you only see in the supermarkets for Halloween, which seems to be sacrilege really, because they're such a versatile fruit. Mm. Are they as opposed to a vegetable?
They're a squash.
A squash,
I believe.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to grow a corker of a special one for one of my closest friends, actually.
Yeah.
She's
brilliant.
Obsessed with pumpkins.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That only being available at Halloween is a bugbear of mine, because there's so many people starving, and that is a decent food source. But that's, again, another argument. Anyway. Mm. based on this soil, I would recommend the no-dig method. I think we're going to have to throw a load of horse manure down to horse manure and compost to break the soil down and keep it going.
Yeah.
That's another thing I'm going to recommend, and I'll go through that with you.
So the horse manure, I mean, we've got some border boards here which we purchased today.
Yeah.
And they are, I don't know what they are, 8 inches, are they? Something
yes,
like that?
Yes, look, about 8 inches.
So would you recommend just filling up to level with that, or would you go higher?
I would go level with level. The horse manure. That's what I did on my allotment.
Right.
And it works pretty well down there.
Oh, okay.
The horse manure I can get is really well rotted. It's like compost, so...
And you said to me before you started recording that because this is... It's almost like concrete because it's at the moment so firm, the clay.
Yes.
But when you've got the horse manure on top, over time, it breaks down the clay so that the roots can actually penetrate further down.
Yeah, well, the old methods of digging in the horse manure, which... at this time of year would not like to do.
No.
It does work, but it's a lot of wasted energy. If we just throw the manure on top, the worms are going to come up through the soil.
Oh, the worms do the work.
And they'll pull it back down.
Yeah.
And also it's going to kind of mulch the soil, so it's going to lock all the moisture down into the soil.
Brilliant.
As it runs down.
That's very good.
That's why I'm a big fan of a no-dig. But again, this is your garden, so you decide if that's what you want to do. But yeah... I guess the only other thing I'm going to suggest, obviously it's kind of late on in the year to start this thing, but we can still do it. We just keep it simple. Mm. So there's going to be no complicated stuff. Seeds we can do for the winter veg at this time of year, but everything else, if you want to grow, I would say buy the plants.
Mm.
Sowing seeds is a kind of
a
skill set in itself, and it's always
yes.
garden centres sell them fairly cheaply. We can buy them, get them going. Yeah. Now, this is one bed.
Yeah.
9x5. Have you got plans to expand in the future?
Yes, actually. Both sides, to be honest.
Both sides?
Yes. The compost heap will either be, tidied and built in a different way or moved. So there'll be one there. But the next one likely will be on the southern side here, where this trampoline is, because that's on its last legs. It needs to be sorted out and removed.
Great. And obviously the chance of espalier trees and cordons in the future, such as a fan-trained peaches and things like that. Mm. Is that something you'll be
fruit and stuff.
Pruning trees like that is a lot of hard work, it's another
long-term
learning
thing. It's very long-term. I mean, I've got a tortoise, so that's fairly long-term.
Yeah.
Hopefully I've got the patience for this as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So can I ask a question if you expand? Presumably you were talking about the walled garden putting in a microclimate.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a number of beds in a row, do the plants benefit from the fact that they are close together and they, I don't know whether they communicate through the soil or whether there's a climate that creates by having lots of plants, growing plants together as opposed to spacing them miles from each other?
There is a fungi called mycorrhizal fungi, which goes in the soil.
Same as the one that for trees then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Experiments have shown that they help the plants communicate.
Right.
That if one plant down there gets a disease, it wards all the others.
Yeah.
I don't understand it, but that's what I'm told.
Same with trees.
I don't understand that, because that's the same way trees work. So it makes sense. The forest floor talks to.
I mean, a good thing again with the amount of horse manure we're going to be putting in, that has the fungi in it naturally. So it's going to work in. So we're not going to have to add any mycorrhizal fungi. And again, there is an element of the plants helping each other out, being close together. It's a case of finding the right plant for the right environment as well.
Yes.
Which, to be fair, looking at this, you pretty much can grow anything. I'm not really concerned, because you're going to have everywhere in this garden is partial shade at some point in the day.
Mm.
So that's all good. Excellent. Well, I'm hoping we can keep coming back and keeping everyone updated on the podcast.
Please do.
Call
this
like a kitchen, Julia's kitchen garden spot or something like that, and try and get regular updates for the listeners.
Lovely.
And of course, if any listeners out there have any suggestions to anything that I've said that I can pass on to Julia, please get in touch.
Please do, yes.
Yep. Well, thank you, guys.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, there we go. That is the first Julia's Kitchen Garden feature. I'm finding it really exciting stuff. I'm really pleased that somebody is enthused to learn how to grow food. I like to take credit for it, and I do feel like I've obviously done my bit, but more importantly, she's done the first steps. Now, during that interview, you may have heard me mention the soil being rock hard, and I really am not kidding about that. It's like cement, it's so hard. And that's why I feel the no-dig method will help a lot there. Not just because of my feelings and being a big fan of a no-dig method, but because I believe that soil will be so hard to dig over that it's just going to not be worth it. Now, since that recording, I have popped over to see Julia again, and I actually dropped off some more manure for her. And she started asking me a few questions about keeping chickens too, and I really feel we're onto something here. So I'm going to keep chatting to her and keep this thing. In fact, Richard, he also created a video under the Bald Explorer brand. Anyway, I've embedded that video into the blog post for this podcast, and it's an excellent video. Richard is a fantastic videographer and producer, and he's actually who I've done the video course with, and he's really made a really good gardening video here, so please check it out. Okay, so I'm going to wrap up for now. Don't forget to check out my website, theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk, to find out more about me. If you want to get in touch, please email me, richard@theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk, or you can go through any social media outlet, just search for The Veg Grower Podcast. If you want to keep in touch, or even if you want to be on a podcast with me, I'm happy to do anything. But for now, please take care, and I shall speak to you all again next time.